Thanks for tuning into Conversations About Meaningful Things, the podcast where we dig into life, faith, and all the important questions. In a world that can feel isolating sometimes, we want to encourage you that you're not alone, that God loves you and isn't afraid of your questions. And that's the purpose of this podcast. In our time together, you can expect real talk, genuine interviews, and probably a few laughs along the way. Our hope is as you connect, you feel seen, loved, and encouraged as you take steps in your faith journey. So settle in and let's dive into the conversation. We're so happy to have you along.
Hi, welcome back to Conversations About Meaningful Things, where we like to converse about things that are meaningful to us. Hopefully they're meaningful to you as well. My name is Brian. I am back. If you tune in frequently, you notice that I was gone last week. I'm feeling at least a little bit better. Now, across the table from me is one of the other hosts, Steve.
Hey, good morning, Brian. Afternoon or evening, depending on when you're listening.
Or late night if you accidentally left your podcast player playing while you slept.
Work third shift and just tune in and listen. I could do that. Yeah. And we're missing our third co-host who is in the same boat you were in
basically
episode or two ago, where it just was a little bit under the weather. And so we have a different returning guest today.
Yeah. Tina, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Tina, remind us, what is your official title?
I am the Director of Care and Counseling.
Perfect. Yeah. And so last time, this was a long time ago when we had you on, we kind of talked about a bit of that, the whole care and counseling. Mm-hmm. If I remember correctly, it was about kind of how to walk with people.
Right. Through
we're
suffering.
Going through
suffering.
How do we face suffering and turn toward the Lord.
Yeah. So really deep stuff, really important stuff to make sure that we talk about. It's easy to, when we feel bad, to brush things under the rug and feel like, well, I don't want to burden anybody with this, but we need to talk about this stuff so that we can help others, and especially so that when we're going through it, we know what to do and know that we're not alone in any of that. So Alex, it's just a little medical thing why he's not here. Alex, we miss you. Thank you for giving me a call out on the last episode. But he is getting checked out right now. Nothing major at all, but yeah, definitely not in the right spot to be able to.
Yeah. And it's no fun. In. It's no fun when you're uncomfortable or when things don't feel right or you're hurting. You know, that's not a good place to be physically or otherwise, you know. And oftentimes people experience pain and discomfort from lots of different sources. And unfortunately, sometimes one of those sources is a place where you would hopefully expect just the opposite. And we're talking about in a ministry setting or a community of faith or a faith leader or leadership group, something along those lines where the people experience hurt or pain from something that has the banner Christian over it. And what do we do about that? What does that look like? What are those causes? This is a conversation that actually might be a extended conversation over an episode or two, or maybe we revisit it, but we want to try and just kind of open that conversation today. And that's part of the reason Tina's here and what we want to talk about. So, you know, what does hurt or pain, you know, what does that look like? That can be very, very minor things or extremely major things, right? You know, I think of a minor thing might be, you know, I was offended by something somebody said to me or didn't say, they didn't say hello. And like, I didn't like that. It wasn't a positive experience to things that are much more significant. So what do you think about when you hear the phrase like church hurt or church from or pain from my church experience or my faith family or any kind of phrases like that?
Yeah, I think you kind of referenced it already, but there can be such a wide range of what that hurt looks like. I just remember back in 2021, there was this huge pouring out of all these churches that were being exposed for the different sources of hurt, whether they were really charismatic leaders that were abusing their power. Mm-hmm. So you have examples like that, but then you also have people who just on a Sunday are kind of hurt because they feel overlooked by someone that they feel like should have seen them. Mm. So you've got that huge range of it, and it's such a broad topic. We don't ever want to minimize it by making it like being too quick to address things.
Not a tunnel vision with it, right?
Right, right. It's hard to address the massiveness of it with just a short podcast. So please, if you're listening and you have like one of those bigger hurts, don't feel like we're brushing it off or minimizing it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we all work at a church, and so we've experienced the wide range from different people having different reactions to things. And yeah, like you were saying, Tina, it's easy when I think kind of the, what I would say, I guess, is the lowest level. I mean, hurt is hurt hurts. And so it is important, but the kind of the lower level that we've seen is what I would say is just unmet expectations.
Yes.
Where we've had people like send us a message about how offended they were that, yeah, like you're saying, the welcome person wasn't welcoming enough or something like that. And so when you see something like that, you can say, all right, well, you know, they were having a bad day. We can address it, but not as big of a deal. But you don't want to approach every type of church hurt that way. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Oh, they're just having a bad day.
Right.
'Cause the term we've been using, church hurt, does encompass so much. What's kind of the other end of that, Tina, would you say, for church hurt?
You mean the harder spectrum?
Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of times we see, and especially in our culture today, okay, so if you go back, even in the Old Testament, Ezekiel 34, God has Ezekiel prophesying against the shepherds because they were corrupt and they were not feeding the sheep, but eating the sheep. And he just uses such great imagery there about how the people of God are being treated by their leaders. So it's not a new thing, right? But in our church culture today, I think what we tend to see is these really charismatic leaders where we're almost like creeping into idolatry of the Hollywood, I don't know how to say all that.
Yeah,
like
we Hollywood. Talked about this a couple episodes ago. Yeah. The kind of Christian celebrity.
That's the word, celebrity.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And so we allow these people to grow in power, and we don't look at, we see the surface and we see the presentation, but we don't look at what's really going on behind the scenes. Mm. And so you've got dysfunctional systems in place based on ego or all these things, and then people get hurt in the midst of that.
Yeah, one of the things,
little accountability.
Yeah, one of the that's the key, right? So one of the things I was talking about with actually Alex the other day was along this line that it seems like there are times where someone rises. I don't like that word, but they come to a position of notoriety or power, and there seems to be the temptation to say, well, they're that person, so I can't say anything to them. I can't hold them accountable. Like, who am I to question that person or whatever? And that's just completely opposite of what Scripture has to say, because Scripture says that those who lead, those who teach, are held to a higher standard of accountability. And so just the opposite should be happening. So those who are put in positions where they have a great amount of influence. So if we want to use the word power, we can use the word power, that have a great amount of have a great amount of responsibility within a sphere or a ministry or a church, should be held to the highest standards of accountability, not the lowest. Not like, oh, well, you're that person, so you just do whatever you want because you're that person. And so if we keep in mind the standards of Scripture and apply those, then those who are in those most responsible or powerful, again, whatever word we want to use, position, should be the ones held to the highest level of accountability. And unfortunately, I think some of these situations that you're referencing that we hear about, oh, this person, you know, they had an abusive power, or they had a, you know, they treated people poorly because they were abusing their position or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's because that biblical principle apparently wasn't applied. Mm. There was no check and balance of how is this person doing? Who do they answer to? You know, we're not meant to just answer to ourselves, right? We are, there's accountability within relationships. There's accountability spiritually before the Lord. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, if we're concerned about a situation or a dynamic that's happening, that would be a question to ask, like, hey, what are the lines of accountability? You know, if I have this concern, who do I raise that to, et cetera. And I think that we're talking about when there's some issue with a person in leadership, right? Mm. And then there's another kind of hurt that can happen just amongst people. And I know I've experienced that where, you know, two families aren't getting along or two people are at odds with each other. Mm-hmm. And they're like, why is that person treating me that way? Or, you know, they say they're a Christian, but, and again, scripture outlines that. And Matthew, talks about, you know, if there's an issue, go to them, talk with them, then take some others and then ask for some of the leaders to weigh in on it. So, you know, I think at its very foundation, I think we'll talk about some specifics, but the very foundation, let's not forget that scripture does give us guiding principles for these things. And most of the time that I've observed is when trouble happens is when we're not applying those foundational principles. So,
yeah, definitely. There's so much that goes into this. And if you're on, I guess the other side of it, if you've gone through some form of church hurt, first of all, thank you for listening. I'm sure that can be even hard with associating, something that did hurt you, with, you know, your life still. So if I'm hearing correctly, there is the abuse of power. So I guess you could say like church staff or people who are in a high spot, within any sort of church, or even nonprofit, anything like that, that they say they represent Christ, but they don't treat you, that way. And then there's also not necessarily anybody in any form of high position, but, because they say, hey, no, I do. I follow Christ. I love like Christ loves. And then they don't show that to you. There's also that. So that could be anyone. That could be family. That could be, like you were saying, sure, friends, other families, neighbors, whatever it is. Yeah. And so you're starting to associate the hurt and the pain that you experience with them with the bigger Big C church, with Christianity in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the name of Christianity. Okay. And so I think one of the things that we already mentioned, and Tina maybe want to jump in on this as well, is, you know, when we experience these things, those are real and require some sort of response, right? I think, you know, the person who says, oh, it's no big deal, don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not a good response. It's not a healthy response. Especially if it comes off that nonchalant. Like if you have a conversation and say, okay, we're going to choose to handle this way by not making an issue of it, or I'm going to choose to forgive and move on. Like that's processing it. And some very minor things people may choose to do that with. There's an old saying, hurt people, right? We've heard that, and adjective verb, right? Hurt. Mm-hmm. I'm a hurt person and I tend to hurt others. So there needs to be some sort of, I think, decisions about, like, what do I do with this?
Yeah.
Because just carrying it around is never healthy.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think one of the temptations anytime we're hurt is to turn in on ourselves or to isolate. And so the temptation when you're talking about church hurt, I think it's a little easier to just, rather than deal with it and face it, but to pull back and to just stop going to church and stop joining in the community, because if that's a source of pain for you, you want to avoid that. And it's hard to, like Steve was saying, there are lines of action that we can take to help resolve situations. but those are hard. It's hard to do. It takes courage. And so we don't want to stir the pot or whatever. So we tend to avoid that and, tend to just isolate or pull back. And so how do we respond in a way, like, what do we think about in terms of why would I not isolate, right? Mm-hmm. Like, why would I not just walk away from the church in general?
It's interesting because as you're saying that, I'm getting a little visual. Like, pulling back is a very natural thing.
Right.
Like, if I reached for something on the stove and burned my hand, like, I almost instinctually, I don't necessarily think about it. We just pull back from things that cause pain. But it doesn't mean that I never use a stove again, right? I see the purpose in it, but I need to function a little bit differently, or I need, like, something has to change in order for that to be healthy again.
Which
is, I think, what you were starting to talk about.
Yeah, exactly. I think as the injuries come in the context of community, so healing comes in the context of community. So if we've been injured, we in the community of the church, in the community of faith, we need to reengage in a healthy, positive way with community as well to rebuild trust and to rebuild faith. It was really cool because as like I was praying about this, the Lord really gave me a couple of different verses, and then I looked them up and they're both from Hebrews. So I was like, nice. So I dug into Hebrews and I love this. God speaks so clearly to this. So if you'll entertain me for a minute, just give me a second to give some context. The book of Hebrews is a sermon letter to Jewish Christians in the time period between when Jesus died and the fall of Jerusalem. So it would be like 65 AD. So it's just like this short 30, potentially 35 year time period. And he talks about the whole thing is encouraging people in the faith in light of the fact that Jesus is superior. So it's a comparative. He takes things that were of the past, of the Old Testament. He takes the angels and Moses and the priests and the sacrificial system, and he compares each of them to Jesus. And so he shows how, although those things were appropriate for the time, Jesus is the full and complete and perfect fulfillment of those things, and how Jesus is the superior thing. Those were all ways that God revealed himself to his people back in those days. And so if we look at now, the way God reveals himself to the world is through the church, the Big C church, right? It is incomplete and inferior because Christ is the only perfect one. And so if we are looking, if our focus is on the church, it's easier to walk away. But our focus needs to be on Jesus because he is the complete and full. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Along those lines, I read earlier this week that just a reminder, when you're disappointed in people, the invitation of Scripture is to follow Jesus, not to follow Christians.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. I mean, there's so many verses, like in chapter 10 through 12, it's just loaded. Let us draw near to Jesus in full assurance of faith. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. Why? Because he who promised is faithful, not because the church is perfect, but because he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stir up one another towards love and compassion, right? That requires us joining together and sticking together with our eyes on Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. I try to get this point across often to the teens in the youth group, especially when we go through something like a Q&A series, something like that, where doubt is normal, and it's very normal to ask questions, and you should ask questions. Yeah. It's how you grow deeper. And in that, usually it also begs that question of like, okay, well, what about when something bad happens? Or what about when I have a question that isn't fully answered and I don't know where the answer is, whatever? you don't just throw out everything. Right. You don't say, well, this one thing doesn't make sense to me yet, so therefore everything's gone and I'm not going to follow Jesus anymore. Right. You go, no, just keep asking more questions. Keep leaning in. And it's the same with church hurt, where you can say, hey, that person was wrong, but that person isn't Jesus. Mm-hmm. Like, don't throw out Jesus with everything else.
I think there's a dilemma that happens, especially when it's a person that, whether they're in an official leadership position or not, but when the hurt comes from a source that you had looked up to, mm-hmm. whether that's a pastor, a leader, another believer that you've looked at their faith and thought well of it as a mentor kind of person, because that is a source of your own identity and faith as well. What, you know, that's part of the relationship there. And then it brings that question, that doubt in. And so you don't just, my experience in dealing with lots of people over the years is you don't just question the action. You question everything that comes along with the source of where that action came from. And so, you know, there was a situation when I was in high school where a leader did something abusive. And I remember kids, I was a junior in high school, and I remember kids in the youth group, we sat in a room when this was revealed to us. And I remember some students saying, like, well, I don't even know if I'm a Christian then, because I put my faith in Christ when he taught that lesson, or when this, you know, this thing. And, you know, so my observation is that we don't just judge the one thing that caused us hurt. We judge the entire package from which the hurt came. And that then, you know, that draws such a wider lens, right? If a person at the church hurt me, then the church is a source of hurt, you know? And that's, I think that's, in some ways, that's a big part of the tragedy of this subject, is we do tend to bundle everything in one package, and then we either toss the whole thing out or we handle it a different way. But that's some of the dynamic, I think, to be aware of. And so if you've experienced hurt, you know, is there a way for you to really identify the specifics of what that is? Because the more specific you can identify it, the more specifically you can deal with it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're just going to brush with very broad strokes. And quite honestly, in my experience, when you brush with broad strokes, there tends to be little remnants of things that hang around afterwards that maybe show themselves a week, a month, years later, because you didn't really deal with the specifics of it. You just kind of collectively tossed everything. So I would just encourage you, if you've experienced hurt, to have the opportunity, and maybe it's helpful to sit with someone who's outside the situation, or at least outside the source of the hurt, and communicate to them the specifics of it, so that you can separate, you know, the specifics of what was the bad thing, what was the thing that really needs to have some attention given to it, and the other things that actually are still there and still healthy, right? Mm-hmm. Other people in the church that actually are good friends and supports to me in the midst of feeling the pain that I'm feeling.
I think that's a great idea to sort through and really determine and label kind of what's what, right? And to sort through it. And I think Hebrews 10:35 says, therefore do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. And I think a good question to ask might be, what was my confidence in? What was I placing my trust and my faith and my confidence in? And who was I placing it in? Because as you were talking back through your high school experience, right, and them questioning even their own salvation, well, what was your confidence of your salvation in? It's in Christ. It's not in the person who told you about it.
Yeah, I just think sometimes it's hard to separate all that.
Absolutely.
Because it's one big collective of our experience as an individual person. And so to say, well, I can pull this out and pull that out. I know there's been times where, you know, a very, you know, a well-known person, public figure falls. And then I've had conversations with people. Well, what do I do about like the studies, the books that they wrote, or and the content, mm-hmm. like, was everything ungodly, or is that the product of a person who is an imperfect person who fell? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can make a case on both sides. Like, do you clear your shelf off and burn every book, or do you just say, no, I need to be discerning? Because if we're clearing our shelves off of everything that was written by a sinful person, our shelves are empty except mm-hmm. for scripture.
Yeah.
Right. Which maybe that's not a bad place, by the way, but anyway, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So there's that dilemma, like what goes and what stays and how do we make mm-hmm. those determinations? But I think those determinations are best made when we've taken a few steps down the path of healing. Because until you've started down that path of healing, we don't always make the best decisions when we're in the middle of the hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. I have so many questions and we only have a couple minutes. So what do you do then? So how can you, and maybe there is, obviously it's a case by case basis, but is there a situation where, yes, you shouldn't just throw out all of Christianity and you shouldn't throw out the big C church, but is there a situation where you should distance yourself from a particular person or a particular church and go find another community? If it is that like the head of that church is doing something wrong, it kind of trickles down. Is there, I guess that's the question. Is there a situation, would you, Tina, kind of encourage don't be hasty, but here's some steps you can take to kind of decide that? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think, so many people like have gone through this, and, I just was listening to a podcast, and it was really good. It was just her process of leaving mm-hmm. a church, and it was not a hasty process for her and her husband. And they thought about it. They prayed about it. It took a year, but they just kept seeing red flags, kept mm-hmm. trying to talk. Right. And I think you do try to talk to the leadership. You do try mm-hmm. to work it out. You don't just walk away. Right. Because if mm-hmm. there's something going on, it's helpful for you to address it with leadership, and it, depending on the responses you get, it can either bring healing or it could just be of like, okay, this is who they are and this is not a healthy place. And so I'm going to go. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think too, going back to that simple illustration earlier of, you know, I grab something off the stove and I burn my hand, I naturally pull back. So mm-hmm. I think initially there has to be some sort of pullback to get perspective, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes that perspective is outside the situation. Most of the time it is outside the situation. Mm-hmm. So there may be a pullback from that relationship or that ministry, even for a brief amount of time, to get better perspective mm-hmm. and to have then a game plan of how can this be healthy? Can it be healthy? Mm-hmm. And if so, how, and how, what's my role in it being healthy, right? Mm-hmm. So to use that stove illustration, I have to understand, oh, there's potholders. I should use a potholder. Like it's sometimes it's just, I need to make an adjustment, or the other person, there needs to be adjustments made so that things are safe and healthy and mm-hmm. we're not going to continue to cause hurt, right? And so I think, to answer your question, Brian, yeah, there are times when absolutely there's at least an initial pullback for that mm-hmm. perspective, but there may be times where we say, this just can't be healthy in the near future. We don't see a path to health. Mm-hmm. So we have to make a decision for ourselves to be in a different situation where mm-hmm. where we can be healthy. And you know, if that means, for instance, like I go to a church leadership group and they say, we don't care, we're not going to do anything, mm-hmm. then a person probably has a decision then, okay, mm-hmm. do I remain in this situation that's causing hurt and unhealthy, or do I make a decision? I can't change what's here, but I can change for me, allowing myself to be in a healthy situation where I'm not going to continue to be hurt. And I think, as you said earlier, Brian, those are case by case, mm-hmm. but I think all those options are out there. Mm-hmm. They're all legitimate options.
Yeah, I think it's making sure that you have the information. It's having those conversations. We all want to feel better and be better, but often we don't want to put in the work. The bad news is that you do need to put in at least some work. But when you do, then everything will feel better. So having that awkward conversation with a leadership team and them saying, nope, we're going to keep doing this thing that you say is bad or whatever, then you at least have that information to make a better decision.
Right.
Rather than pulling back and just talking to yourself about it and going, well, I don't know. Well, I guess maybe this. So yeah, having those conversations, making sure that you're bringing in the outside people, like you said, Steve, to make sure you have their perspective and it's not just all internal, I think is key. We have about like 1 minute left. So Tina, is there any sort of like, is there any sort of takeaway?
Yeah, I think depending on where you are, again, like we've said multiple times, like there are so many scenarios and you don't ever want to like condense it down to one just simple thing, because it's not simple. It's not messy. It's messy and it doesn't feel good. So I think your own heart, like where the bottom line is God calls us to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, love your neighbor as yourself. And so we need to be in a community that is healthy and functioning, and we need our hearts to be healed and wounded. And if you're in a situation where you've had to leave a church and you've been injured and you've been wounded, just the encouragement, go into Hebrews 10 through 12 and read the exhortations there of like, turn to the Lord because it's Jesus who's faithful, and just work through the grief process, right? You said it doesn't feel good, and like, we just want to feel better. And so we want that the Lord to heal our hearts. And it might involve grieving because things are not as they should be, and they're not. This side of heaven, they never will be. And it's like that reminder that of what we are really truly longing for is heaven, right? Mm. The imperfection of the world. And so to heal your heart before the Lord, do your grieving for all the things that should have been that weren't, do forgiveness and walk through that so that you can be restored in your relationship, not only with the Lord, but with community, and you're just loving him with all your heart.
Yeah, I would echo all of that, and I would just say that that doesn't happen in isolation. Right. So if you find yourself isolating yourself, that's probably a little bit of a red flag that's not the best road to go down. So have a conversation. If everyone in the organization, you can't talk to one of them, then find a trusted, godly friend outside the organization that you can have a conversation with, and get that perspective, have that conversation, and start down the path of asking the questions, how can I and how can this be healthy? Mm-hmm. Because right now it certainly doesn't seem like it.
Yeah. And be open to those conversations. Not just seeking out someone who's going to be your yes man that says, yeah, you're saying is for sure. Like you said, find a godly person who can also challenge you on things, maybe give you a better perspective of, hey, maybe they didn't mean it that way, whatever that is. But yeah, lean into God fully. He's with you. He's for you. His heart breaks when you're hurt by someone else who says that they represent him. And so, if you have any sort of thoughts or questions, if you're experiencing any form of church hurt at all, you can always reach out to us, podcast@victorchurch.org. Email us if you have questions or topic ideas, whatever that is. We'd love to hear from you. That's all that we have for this time, so we will see you in the next one.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.